The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. Happy holidays. We have a lot to get to tonight. We do our backpack raffle that comes up just before comics. We have lots of news to talk about. We get to a whole bunch of stuff. And then at the end of the show, we wrap up. We were going out on a sour note and we saved it. We've totally redeemed ourselves. We had a nice conversation about, hey, first time comic book readers and, you know, what it's like when you first walk into a store. We revisited that idea. So like I said, lots to get to. Let's get into the store. Hey, John, so festive. I love the song.
I know, I'm really getting into the spirit, man. That is one happy Canadian.
That's good. you know what they say. Bruce Springsteen is the American Bryan Adams.
You're right. They do say that.
They say that in Canada.
I was going to say, yeah. It's people that don't know who is older than the other one, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I heard somebody say that one time. But
that's funny.
This is a great version. I like the Chuck Berry version, too. That's the classic. But we had a classic last week, so this is nice. You're mixing it up. You've got, you know, I mean, it's so festive. Like we said last week, such a festive time of year. You're doing a good job.
Oh, I try.
Hey, we were so excited doing Last Jedi the other day, we never ranked it. So
I heard that.
Yeah, you heard that in our podcast?
Yeah.
So where do you rank it?
I guess I should have thought about it since I knew you were going to ask me. I would have to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 6th.
Sixth. Behind. Yeah. What do you got?
I would put it ahead of the first two prequels, Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
I put it behind everything else. I put it sixth between Revenge of the Sith and Phantom Menace.
Yeah. Hang on. Now you got me thinking again. So what did you have? Star Wars number one.
So I have Star Wars, Empire. Well, I have Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi. I mean, those are the first three for me.
But didn't you redo that? Because I've moved Rogue One. Rogue One ahead of
Jedi.
Oh,
that's right. We're including Rogue One also.
Right.
So then, actually, that puts Last Jedi at seventh right now. Because that's nine movies, right?
Yeah.
So it's seventh.
So what do you have ahead of it?
Everything but Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones is ahead of it.
You have Solo.
I don't
ahead
remember.
Of it?
Is Solo part of it too?
Yeah. I have 10 movies ranked here.
Okay, 10 movies. Well, then it's eighth. It's still it's ahead of everything except for those two movies. I think I still put Solo ahead of it.
Yeah.
And Rogue One ahead of it. So, and I have it.
Oh, of course, Rogue One. I have third. So my rankings goes.
Yeah.
I have.
That's true. I forgot about Rogue One.
So I have dead last. I'll go from 10th. To first, I have Phantom, Clone Wars, Revenge of the Sith, Last Jedi. Then I have Solo, but I'm debating on that because when I did my ranking, I hadn't seen Last Jedi again. So
you have Last Jedi ahead of Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So my last three are, you know,
the prequels.
Are the prequels. And I have Revenge of the Sith, the best of the last three.
Right. And then so I put Revenge of the Sith a little bit ahead of Last Jedi, I think.
Really?
I think so.
I see, that's the thing to me. It's like, I mean, I liked Revenge of the Sith, but I think Last Jedi, and I know this, I mean, we saw the comments, people, you know, really yeah, don't
a
like
lot of
the
people
movie.
Don't. No, I well, a lot of people don't like any of the prequels either. So it's it's really just like shooting fish in a barrel when you come down to these last four.
Yeah, exactly.
But I forgot that we were going. I forgot that we were going to include Solo and Rogue One in there too. So yeah, I actually have Rogue One third also, and I would have Jedi fourth. All right, well, let's do it. So I have Star Wars,
I thought
Empire.
That's what we were doing.
Star Wars, Empire, Rogue One.
Jedi.
Empire. Or Jedi.
Jedi.
Rather. Then I would do...
I have Force Awakens.
Yeah,
I think we're
then
the
I would
same.
Do. Yeah, then I would do Force Awakens. Then I would do Solo.
Yep.
And I think that's where I do Revenge of the Sith, and then Last Jedi, and then
okay.
Phantom Menace. And so I think we're just off. We're different by one.
We're yeah, we flip. We flop. Flip flop. We flip. We flop. Yeah. Last Jedi and Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad. I mean, you can't...
Yeah, and honestly, on any given day, like if I watched them head-to-head, I might flip that around too. Because, I mean,
yeah.
I know we just did Revenge of the Sith not that long ago, but it's still been, you know, 2 months since I watched it. So...
Well, that would have been 4 months ago.
Maybe it was
four or
yeah,
five
maybe
months
it was more
ago
than 2 months
because if
ago.
You think that was the third movie and we're on the eighth now and we threw Rogue One in there.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, that's back in the summertime. We were wearing shorts and putting on sunscreen.
And I mean, I can barely remember yesterday. So,
hi, my name.
But
my
I do
name's
again.
DJ. Nice to meet you, John.
Yeah, but I do. I like I said, I still stand by the fact that I thought it was a pretty good movie. So
yeah.
I know, and we knew that a lot of our listeners were going to disagree anyways.
Yeah.
Because a lot of most everybody in existence disagrees, but it's not that hard to find people that don't like it.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's funny cause we had, quite a few comments back and forth. At Fossetti 62 said, agreed, Joe, I'm not a fan of Last Jedi. Really hate the direction of the Rey origin in this. He's replying to Dr. Joe. The first right. words we hear in the Phantom, TFA, setting up the new trilogy is, who are you, about Rey? This needs to be answered. Also, there was no lightsaber duel for the first time ever. And then Joey... At Joey Gloucester replied just literally an hour or so ago. So funny. I got it. And I was like, oh, timely. It's perfect timing. It says, okay, so I've been watching clips. There were no lightsaber battles, but there was a lightsaber fight inside Snoke's throne room. That scene was...
I was going to say, how are we classifying a lightsaber duel?
Right.
If we're saying a duel has to be between only two people... Well, then, Phantom Menace didn't have one either
because you had
it,
that was basically
a
three-person duel.
Right. And so, yes, we had the fight in Snoke's throne room, so it was not technically a duel, but we did have a lightsaber battle. So,
right.
I guess it just depends on your definition.
And
I mean, I know a duel is defined by nature as one-on-one, so I guess that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, but that's...
But then Phantom Menace didn't have one either.
Well, because... it kind of did. It had two duels because he only faced off against – well, he did face them both.
I
but
guess
then
it was
duels.
Two simultaneous duels, right?
Right, but they actually did have a duel, whereas in
that's
in
true,
this
because
one,
after Qui-Gon was dead, we still had Obi-Wan
we still
and
had
Darth
a duel,
Maul.
But it was actually right. two people battling each other with lightsabers, whereas in Last Jedi, it was two people with lightsabers battling the guards.
Right, who didn't have
right.
lightsabers.
Then they faced off against each other very, very briefly.
Right.
But that was very...
I think that's semantics, though. I mean,
yeah.
If they're firing up lightsabers and swinging them at other people, to me, that's a... You know,
yeah.
It had lightsabers.
It, yeah,
it, you know,
I
it
mean,
had lightsabers.
It's funny because, I mean, Paul's right. There was... And I never thought of it that way, but at the same time... I didn't miss it because we had that,
right.
So I didn't notice it.
Right.
It was interesting that he did notice it. Let me see. Where's the – oh, Dr. Joe. I still very much dislike this movie. So we didn't change his mind.
No. But we weren't trying
no,
to.
No. There are elements that I do enjoy, mostly the Rey Luke stuff. I'm aware there's comedy in Star Wars, but it was really forced in this movie. I agree. Yeah, we did say that. I'm not a fan of Poe or Finn, but that starts with Force Awakens. I'm willing to change my mind on how Episode 9 turns out. And that's where I think that's going to be the big thing. And that's why I think I have it ranked.
I think we said that, too.
Yeah. Oh, we did.
Yeah.
And that's why I have that ranked higher than – it's funny. I do have it ranked higher than Revenge of the Sith, but it's – I have more hope for it, which, and that is the theme of these movies, hope. Right. But you know what I mean? It's like, and I think there is more to this movie than a lot of people are giving it credit for. And that's why I have it a little higher than Revenge of the Sith. Revenge of the Sith is really good because what it did is it bridged that gap. And we thought it was a pretty original thing to do. I mean, that's never happened in history where you took a trilogy and put it before another trilogy and had to have that where we knew the outcome of it, you know.
Right.
I mean, but there are some pretty cringeworthy moments in Revenge of the Sith that
no doubt.
You know, him,
yeah.
Vader at the end, that was kind of...
A lot of it. I mean, we talked about it when we reviewed that movie, or not really reviewed it, but when we talked about that movie, there's a lot to not like there also, but you know,
They
all have their moments.
They all have their moments there. And it's, you know, that's why they're at the bottom of the list.
Right.
But yeah, I'm actually willing to actually move it above Solo. Maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe after we see, Rise of Skywalker. Who knows where it could jump to from there?
Well, right, because again, it depends on what threads get picked up and tied off with the last movie. So it's almost unfair to solidify its ranking yet because it may have more significance once we get the ending.
Yeah,
and not that this list, I mean, it's fluid; like we can change it any time. You know, I mean, I change my mind all the time. So
yeah.
Hell, I went from not liking it to liking it, so, I mean,
that
alone
was
a change.
Yep. So. All right. Well, that's it for the rankings, right?
We'll have one more.
Yeah,
ranking.
For this pod, so that's the end of the Last Jedi podcast. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you on Thursday.
Yep.
All right, on to this week's. On to the Thursday morning podcast. So how you doing, John? Good.
I'm doing great. Yeah, that doing great.
Week flew by. Look at that. It's already Thursday.
I know.
Yeah. what do we got for news? Anything exciting?
Actually, just a couple of things this week. Not a whole lot.
Did you see the Wonder Woman trailer?
I did see the Wonder Woman trailer. Actually, I actually liked the trailer a lot, but I was a little disappointed that we didn't get to see Cheetah. I mean, we saw Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
But I kind of wanted to see Cheetah because I'm really curious to see what version of Cheetah we get and how she's.
Do you think we'll ever see it? I think they're saving that.
Well, we probably won't see it until Well, you know when we'll see it? We'll see it spoiled in some toys. No, we'll see it spoiled in some action figures before the movie comes out, because that always happens. Toys,
not
especially
always.
For like,
they save baby
especially
Yoda.
For us that, well, that's true. That order, like, I'll be ordering toys for that movie 2 months before the 3 months before the movie comes out.
Right.
So a lot of times Funko or somebody will spoil. So we may see it, but you're right. They might be trying to save it for the movie. I think it looks great. I mean,
yeah, it looks, I heard somebody compare it to, Thor Ragnarok, the feel, which is pretty cool with the, you know, the music, I didn't really feel like Thor Ragnarok had an 80s feel to it. Did you?
No, it didn't, but it had that, it had a good musical score.
Right.
You know, it was a little more upbeat than some of the other Marvel movies when it comes to that.
What I think is funny is when Thor Ragnarok came out, we thought it had like a Guardians feel.
Right.
And now it's like, so kind of Wonder Woman is on that, you know, maybe if we go all the way back, it's like a Guardians feel. But it's because, I mean, you have that, just that neon in the that they use for their logos or the words right. and everything, the credits, and it just that gives it that Guardians feel as well.
The other thing about it, and I'm not the first person to say this, and I think you even retweeted it or saw it on Twitter, is it looks like they're really just throwing away anything that happened in the Snyderverse versions of Justice League or BVS, because, you know, Wonder Woman is clearly a personality
yeah.
and is known in this movie, but yet in BVS, nobody knew who Wonder Woman was. So unless at the end of this movie, everybody in the world gets mind wiped and forgets who Wonder Woman is, it does kind of look like it's moving away, just kind of stand on its own, away from those other movies.
Well, no, not necessarily, because she's been around. This is 1984, right?
Right.
At that time, how old was Batman? Because in that incarnation,
well, he would, right,
he
would have been
like a kid.
He would have been a kid, too, but he wouldn't have had to go back to 1917 to get a photo of her as Wonder Woman. You know what I mean? There would have been a lot more recent photos. She would have been showing up on Time magazine and,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Which, you know, again, if I'm Patty Jenkins, I'm fine distancing myself from,
right.
the rest of, from those
well,
other
she
movies.
She did say that these are supposed to be stories unto themselves. Too.
Right.
And it's not really, they're not in a in continuity or anything like that.
No, but you know, Wonder Woman 1, I mean, it did pay tribute to Bruce Wayne. Like, it definitely played into...
Just at the very beginning, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That won't matter at all once we go to see it. Nobody really cares
right.
about that so much. It's just funny because somebody brought that up, and I hadn't really even thought about it till I read a tweet with somebody saying that, and I was like, well, you know, it makes sense because
right.
She's clearly a known personality at that point
yeah.
in the 80s. So even as a kid, Bruce Wayne, you know, young Bruce Wayne would have heard of Wonder Woman. But I mean, as a kid, you
yeah.
heard of, you know, Michael Jordan or whoever the hero, you heard of everybody.
Right.
So
yeah.
So, but yeah, that was a pretty good trailer. Overall, I think it looks, like I said, I think it looks great.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah. What about that Ryan Reynolds one? What's the name of that one? Did you see that?
The Aviator Gin?
No.
The
no,
one
no.
where he's got the Peloton? Oh,
yeah,
okay. I
no,
thought you were
not
talking
that
about
one.
The one with the Peloton
that
girl, because that's awesome. Like, how great is Ryan Reynolds?
Oh.
Like, he's like...
How quickly?
Like my man crush. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, they had that done in about 2 days.
Right.
But
to get a hold of the I mean, because yeah. you can't...
Well, he's Ryan Reynolds, though. You can shoot a commercial in a day, right? He just called his people and said, get this woman over here tomorrow
yeah.
and shoot a commercial. And, like, it didn't go to TV. They just put it online. So,
right.
like, you could really do it. But he did it basically in 3 days or
right.
2 days. So...
Yeah, that was pretty funny. That whole yeah. that whole quote scandal's a riot.
Well, it is, but
it's ridiculous.
I just think he's like the greatest person ever, you know. So
as someone,
but
that,
I don't know which one were you talking about?
The movie. What's the name of the movie? The video game movie that he's in coming out.
Oh, I have no idea.
July 3rd.
Yeah,
it looks pretty cool. It looks pretty funny. Yeah. It looks like a take on like he's in the video game. And it looks like a video game version of, like, Ready Player One, almost.
Right.
And he puts the glasses on, and it's, you know, like he's in Grand Theft Auto or something. But that one looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell was the name of that one? I forget.
I can't remember.
I forget. All right, what do you got? Before I'll stop interrupting you.
That's fine. It looks like the Arrowverse is developing a Super Sons TV show.
Oh, okay.
Which I think would be awesome. You know, there are they
with
are
who? Damian?
Well, with Damian and Jonathan, John Kent. Yeah.
Oh,
so
that would be awesome.
You know, obviously
awesome.
We'll get to the crisis for our Monday show, but I mean obviously they've introduced baby Jonathan Kent
right.
into the Arrowverse. You know, we have heard the announcement of the Lois and Clark basically TV show
mm-hmm.
that's coming. So through that show, I guess they're going to age up the kid, and then somehow he's going to meet Damian. Like, I don't know how that's going to play out, but
yeah.
But again, you know, faraway rumors at this point, but it is something that they're working on. So,
oh, Damian would think be that's, Damian's awesome.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I think that would be great. We talked about, was it last week or the week before when we were talking about the Marvel movies? Oh, it was last week. We were talking about the Black Widow trailer.
Okay.
And
yeah,
we had commented that, you know, Phase 4 may not have that big, grand, cohesive endgame, like, mm-hmm. basically endgame. Well, we're wrong, because Kevin Feige has come out this week
Wait
and
a minute.
Said
we're
that it,
wrong?
Yeah. Well, I'm wrong. You know, you were mostly right.
Oh. But, no, I meant we as a group. I wasn't
yeah,
even
I
trying to hint at that. I was like, no.
You were less wrong. But yeah, Kevin Feige has said that there is absolutely an overarching story that they're developing for Phase 4 and Phase 5 that is going to culminate in some kind of end game. So that's cool. Just kind of puts to bed some of that speculation that we had that it might not go that way.
But no, and that's the thing is I didn't think there was any I thought that was just common knowledge. Like I was like,
well, no, I didn't know. I didn't necessarily think
story.
Well, I didn't necessarily think it had to. Like, you don't have to do that again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like
they don't
what
have
they're doing
to,
with Wonder Woman.
Right. So, you know, again, it worked for them, so it makes sense that they would do it again, but
right.
it could have also made sense that Phase 4 was just a series of movies that were just all good movies. You know what I mean? They don't,
yeah, but
it didn't have to go that route,
right.
but it looks like it is going
yeah.
to. So, now what that end game is, we don't really know.
I bet you
like,
it won't
could be
called End Game 2.
No.
T-O-O.
Right. You know, it could be an Eternals thing. Like, we don't know what they're going to build towards at this point, but
right.
it is building towards something. And then the last thing I have, I just saw this today.
I'll put that
actually.
On our little scoreboard I have over here.
Yeah. hash marks. And
like John 52, DJ
yeah.
1.
Yeah. Oh, man, you're giving yourself too little credit.
Give yourself two.
Right.
There was one other time I was right.
There had to have been one other time. And then last but not least, it looks like the Flash movie is back on an official slate for Warner Brothers. It has a release date of 2022, which it didn't have before.
Tune in next week when it's back
right,
off again.
When it's back off again. But it is on their schedule for like June of 2022. And then that same year in December is Aquaman 2. So both of those, other than Wonder Woman 84, those are the only three things that are on like Warner Brothers' official slate. They do have, like Marvel does, placeholders that have dates with no
their
properties attached.
Schedule's
so.
Written in chalk.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
so is their CEO. I mean, they change CEOs more than they change the Flash movie.
I love
so.
The DC Universe stuff. I love those movies. I just, they're killing it on the TV side. But their scheduling and the rumors and this and that, they just, it's like they can't get out of their own way.
They're never going to catch Marvel if they can't actually put movies on the schedule.
Wonder Woman was supposed to be out this past year.
Yeah.
I mean,
you actually have to make a movie to have it be successful. So,
how do you have one of your most successful movies of all of the superhero movies delayed a year?
Yeah.
It's like,
well,
what did
same
you
thing.
Do wrong?
Well, they say it was a better time on the schedule, on the calendar.
A year?
Because... Well, that's what they say. They say that the calendar worked better because there was less competition at that time. My thought is if you put out a solid product, it shouldn't matter what your competition is. You know,
speaking
you just
of,
put it out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, speaking of that, did you hear the – I saw the tweet earlier today about Keanu Reeves. It's going head-to-head with Keanu Reeves.
I saw that, yeah, which is going to win, Matrix 4 or John Wick 4.
John Wick 4 going head-to-head, and I'm like –
yeah. I mean, John Wick has puppies, so...
Yeah, or had one.
Well, had a puppy. Well, he's still got a dog, so...
Yeah. Yeah, so...
I don't know. I have
it's
nothing
Matrix
but good...
Matrix 4 opens up with a puppy.
Yeah. The thing is, I have nothing but good feelings for John Wick 4, but yet I'm very leery about The Matrix 4.
Right.
So I think that The Matrix will, I mean, that John Wick will clearly win that box office battle. But if you're Keanu Reeves, doesn't matter.
Well, so. It kind of does, because it's kind of like in sports when you have two MVPs on one team. Their right. votes cancel out the MVP, you know, so they lose out to the other one, you know, whatever it is. So it's like
none of those movies will do well, and it'll be like Jumanji 3.
Yeah,
it's like, it makes all the.
But
money.
I guess, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like I go see John Wick on opening night, and then the next day, or maybe even the next week, I go see The Matrix or something.
Yeah, well, because I'll be honest with you, I don't think The Matrix is an opening day movie for me anyways, because other than the first one, I don't like them.
Here's the thing, you know? It would have been for me if it was a different weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I liked The Matrix movies. I mean, I liked the first one more than I liked the next two, but I still went to opening nights for the next two, and I would have... For this one, and who knows, maybe I will. I'll see them both in the same night. But, you know,
I mean, honestly, for me, if it's not
that's
Star Wars
night,
or
now that I think of it,
yeah, if it's not Star Wars or Marvel, I don't care to see anything on opening night. To be honest with you, like I don't have to go opening day for anything, except for something I'm afraid is going to be spoiled for me if I don't. You know,
yeah. Oh yeah. Well. I mean, we'll see with John Wick. That's it. But see, I like the event of it. I think that would be a fun day. I might actually do both in the same
night.
Well,
if you do get, both,
you
yeah,
get a
you 6 could. 6
p.m. show and get like the 9 or 10 p.m. show of the next one.
Yeah.
And then you can go online and spoil it for everybody else.
Exactly.
Like, because that seems to be the thing to do.
It is, because I know when I see a movie, the first thing I want to do is go to social media and tell everybody what happened.
Tell it, report on something that's been recorded and is going to be played over and over and over.
Yeah.
People think they're like real reporters when they put stuff out. Like,
I don't even remember what I was reading the other day. It had to do with The Mandalorian, and somebody made a comment on some thread, and the dude underneath them said, "It's literally been out for 2 hours. Could you wait?"
Yeah, exactly.
To spoil, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's ridiculous.
Who are you talking to? Because nobody wants to listen to you. Why are you doing this?
Right.
Yeah. Doesn't it drop at midnight?
So tune in when we spoil Rise of Skywalker 20 minutes after the movie ends.
Well, we'll say it, though. But we'll put it out. And that's meant for people that have seen
well,
the movie.
Right.
We're not putting it on our tweet so that you're nobody scrolling
will
by and you're like,
yeah,
you know,
nobody's going to stumble into it by accident.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nobody ever stumbles into us accidentally.
No. No, they do it on purpose. They try to knock us to the ground.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else?
No, I don't.
No? All right. Let's get to the big moment.
What is the big moment?
We got a drawing to do here.
Oh, while you're getting that ready, you reminded me. Speaking of giveaways, I listened to your home theater podcast the other day for Daredevil.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I need to get my hat in the ring to win that movie. So I wanted to just give you my 5-star review right now on the broadcast, if that's okay.
Well, you got to post it because it's gotta balance out my paint drying comment that I got. That guy's not getting a vote.
Okay, so I'm going to rate it 5 stars. And my comment is, the host DJ is very passionate about Michael Clark Duncan taking his shirt off. That's my review.
The guy was jacked.
And it sounded good. So.
He was jacked in that movie. And the one, that scene that I talked about, where they shot it over his shoulder. It's like, it really did. You know, like in the comics, like Daredevil's supposed to be a smaller person.
Yeah.
And Ben Affleck isn't smaller.
No, he's not.
You know,
but
that shot was really good, and that's why I did hear that when I was hearing it back. I'm like, I could have worded that differently.
Yeah, I was like, man, DJ's pretty passionate about Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah,
I actually own that version of that movie. I didn't even realize
the director's cut.
I have that. So I need to watch it. Yeah.
Oh,
I haven't seen that movie in so long, but listening to you made me want to watch it again. So
see, all right.
But I have to wait till I finish upgrading my theater.
There you go.
I don't want to watch anything. I bought
the other podcast.
I bought.
We have the cheapest. I bought a whole bunch of my podcast.
I bought a whole bunch of 4K movies on Black Friday, and I don't want to watch any of them because I haven't finished upgrading my speakers yet.
Speaking of that, I got the Game of Thrones 4K.
Yeah, did you? Yeah,
it's insane. Absolutely insane. It's the. I watched
I've
flipped through a few of them just to see the colors and stuff, but the sound is just unbelievable. But episode three, it was called The Long Night, I think. And the battle and the detail that you can see, that obviously Twitter blew up, you know, social media blew up over that.
A lot better.
I told Jen that I'm like, we've got to rewatch this. It's everything. It's so good. It looks like a different show. It really does.
Really?
It's that good. Yeah. All right. Enough of. So thanks for tuning in to the Bright Side Home Theater.
Right.
All right.
You know what the hardest thing was is I thought of that joke last Friday when I was listening to your show.
Yeah.
And I had to keep reminding myself all week long not to forget to make that joke.
Yeah.
And your giveaway gave me the perfect segue into it, so I appreciate that.
There you go.
I hope everybody else thought it was as funny as I did, because I sat on that joke for 6 days.
Yeah, okay.
But I thought it was pretty funny.
I don't know if it's worth a 6-day sit, but okay.
I know, but
you could have tweeted it.
I mean, I actually almost reviewed it that way, but I didn't want that on the permanent record.
I need more reviews to balance out that donkey.
I didn't want that on
Dolby Digital. Yeah?
I didn't want that carved in posterity.
All right, let's get to the drawing that we had for this. Was to promote, obviously, Friendly Neighborhood Comics move to a new location. We wanted to promote that and toys for, actually it wasn't Toys for Tots, but it's the same idea. It was for a local charity for the needy there, and they had a, you know, awesome turnout. A lot of toys donated. They actually usually fill a box this week. This year they filled two boxes, which they were kind of worried about because of the new location and not getting the same people that would, you know.
Right.
So you never know when you move to another location. I was hanging out there Saturday night, and a guy came in that had never even heard of Friendly Neighborhood Comics, but was coming to the restaurant that's next to it, and he was I think it was Chinese food he was waiting for. And he's like, hey, this is pretty cool. And we started talking. He's talking comics, and I think I got a paint job out of it, too, because he has car damage. So turned out to be a good evening. but we got quite a few drawings.
Speaking
here.
Of, when you come down here to visit next time, bring your tools, because somebody hit me in the parking lot the other day.
It's called a truck.
Yeah, well, drive.
Yes. Hey, whatever.
Drive.
Whatever you need.
Spend that extra 4 days so I can save $300.
Right. All right. Let's draw this. All right. You ready? I'm gonna put these in the backpack and then pick them out.
Are you gonna sub in a drum roll or something when we go to production?
No.
No, you should. You should. I'm just putting it out there.
I'm shaking it up. All right. Actually, what we're gonna do. I thought of this because we had such a good turnout. I feel bad only giving away one thing. So what we're going to do is we're going to give away two glasses. The first two we're going to pull for glasses. And then we'll pull for the grand prize, which is the backpack, the glass, and the t-shirt.
Okay.
I'll even throw in a few stickers for everybody, too. All right. So first one we're going to pick is for a glass.
John, thank you, DJ.
John doesn't even have one yet. You'll get one.
I keep saying that, you know, hoping that you're going to put one aside for me.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
I didn't want to sound too needy.
All right. So first one is, there you go. This is for a glass.
Yeah. No way. Dr. Joe.
He wanted a glass.
Well, there you go.
So he's
Dr.
got a glass.
Joe wins a glass.
All right. And second one gets a glass.
Angela Bergeron.
All right. That's cool. That's actually, she's a new listener, new follower.
Awesome.
I don't know about a listener. She followed us on Facebook. She's been contacting me.
Nice.
All right. Those are the two glasses. Now, here we go for the grand prize of the backpack. That's the Captain America backpack, the T-shirt, and the glass.
All right.
What is it?
I think you need to pick again.
Who is it?
It's Dr. Joe.
Oh, he's got multiple. All right. So
I don't think we should. Well, I mean, we don't have to. You don't have to edit this, but I don't think the same person should win two prizes.
No. So what we could do? Let's pull another glass. You want to do that? I mean, because he's going to choose the grand prize over the glass, right?
Right. Okay.
Well, he has a bunch in there.
Well, I know, but you shouldn't be able to win two prizes. You know?
No, I know. And which do you think he would choose? I'll let you pick
one. I think he'll choose the backpack and the glass.
It was close. You know? So, Dr. Joe, yeah. When you're listening to this, I let John decide. You guys are so like-minded. So if he just went with the glass, it's on you. It's on him.
Yeah.
All right. All right, last one for the glass, for one more glass, because Dr. Joe's getting a glass anyway.
That's what I'm saying, he's going to get the glass anyway.
I just figured out, you don't want him to have a set, because you don't even have one yet.
Exactly.
All right.
Nobody else can have two.
All right, here we go.
We act like these things are worth something, like, you know, like they're so sought after, you know? Yeah. People are fighting in the streets over
they
our
are.
Glasses.
I said they're rare. Everybody thinks they're worth something. All right, here's the last one.
Dr. Joe. No.
Is it?
Pete.
Oh, Super Swede.
Yeah.
Pete Super Swede.
All right.
Our buddy Pete. All right. Pete gets a glass. Dr. Joe gets the grand prize. And Angela Bergeron gets a glass. So I'll save those aside. All right.
Sounds good.
That wasn't painful.
No. Well, I'll let you cut that together so it sounds better.
Oh, yeah. We'll edit all that.
We'll fix that in post.
Yeah. All right. All right. That's good. It was for the kids. It's for the kids.
Yeah.
That's what it was about. It was like,
well, it was.
So I had that backpack sitting there doing nothing. I figured I'd promote Friendly Neighborhood.
Nice.
We've got to do one down at your place.
Yeah.
I'll try to track down another backpack and get it to you.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all we got?
I think so.
Ready to get to some books?
Sure.
All righty. What am I spending my money on this week?
All right. So the first book we're going to take a look at is Red Mother, issue number one. So there is a surprise secret variant for this book. Looks to be about a 1 in 10. It's a red variant. Can't tell you much about it because I didn't get one, so I don't know what's actually different about it.
How do you get it?
Well, just by ordering the books. I mean, it was just mixed in with the you know, your order of books. Like, a lot, Marvel does them all the time, too.
Okay.
So, like, if you ordered, like, I only ordered 6 copies of Red Mother, so I may have gotten one and I may not. People that ordered enough to get multiples figured it was around 1 in 10, so for every 10 they ordered, they got one. It's going for about $10 on eBay right now, so it's not worth a ton, but it is out there. So if you're going through a stack of these at your store, you might want to peek through and look for the red variant. There's also a one per store thank you variant. Boom has been doing this lately with all of their big releases. This one doesn't have quite the interest as like the Power Rangers one from last week, but it's still listing at $25 on eBay, and there is one that sold at that price, so that seems to be about the market price for that. Next book is Superman issue 18. So lots of hype from DC on this one. Doesn't seem to be a lot of demand for it yet, but that could change. You know, this was the reveal of Superman's secret identity to the world, and depending on what happens with the story going forward, this book could pick up steam as the series goes on. So it's definitely worth picking up, and it was a pretty decent read also, especially if you're into the Superman series already, you're probably picking it up. Like I said, right now you should be able to get it for cover price. And then last but not least, we had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles issue 100. Came out today. Character dies, character returns. Not a lot of heat on this so far. Again, probably due to the $8 price tag already.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that there's a lot of different store-specific variants and things out there. But, again, it's first appearance of a new character, the death of a major character. So who knows what could happen going forward with this book. And, again, it's an issue 100, so it's a milestone issue for the Turtles. So at $8, it's probably worth picking one up and putting it aside. And that's it for Speculator's Corner.
All right. I don't know if we should do that here. I wanted to talk about the book that DC's putting out through Walmart. It's coming out Sunday for Crisis. Because we're doing our Crisis show, but that won't be till Monday. So I didn't know if we should talk about that at Speculator's Corner for people to pick up on, grab those on Sunday, because I don't know how big those are going to be.
I don't know either. When DC first started doing the Walmart exclusive books, that first round of books was fairly limited, and they got snapped up very quickly, and they all kind of became sought after on eBay. But as they were released more and more subsequent issues, the demand sort of dropped off for them.
Yeah.
So it depends on what kind of quantities are going to be out there. You know, if it's in plentiful quantity, then I don't see them necessarily being a great spec pickup. That being said, they are continuing the story, or it's based on the story of Crisis that we're seeing on the CW.
Yep.
So if you're into that show, you may want it just for the read.
Yeah. These
are also going to be re-released in the comic book stores. In a couple of months. So that's why I don't think the demand is necessary. Like, they're not going to be scarce, I don't think.
Okay.
Because we'll be able to order them in really whatever quantity we want. We'll just have to wait a few months to get them. So I think it's more of a reader's thing than anything.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't know where to wedge that one in. I just wanted people to have the information by Sunday if they wanted to grab it. Because I'm hoping that it has some tie you over till January 14th, too.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to reveal anything juicy.
No.
But it may be, it's definitely going to be a worthwhile read. Like, I'm averse to going to Walmart and buying one, so I'm going to wait until I can get it out of my own store.
Yeah.
So I won't be reading it until well after January 14th myself. But unless you tell me you've read it and it has to be read.
Yeah, I'm going to grab it. And well, it's supposed to be tying in this to the original.
Right.
And they're bringing that universe into the comic universe. So I think that's really interesting, too.
Yeah.
So we'll see. All right. Let's get to back issue bonus.
All right. So the first book we're going to look at is Venom 2099, issue number 1. And we're looking at the Ron Lim variant cover.
I remember when that came out. Poof,
yeah.
We were so young.
Barely qualifies as a back issue. Came out last week. but it is selling for about $15. This particular variant cover, only because it's being considered the first appearance of She-Venom 2099. For whatever that's worth.
yes, it was.
I didn't have any left on the shelf. I sold all my copies. But, again, it's only on this cover. I don't know if she even actually appears in the book. So, if you can find one, definitely I would pick one up. Also, from last week, The Magnificent Miss Marvel number 10. And I think this was actually one of our speculator books. I think we actually talked about this book last week. Actually, I know we did, because it's the first appearance of Storm Ranger, which we made fun of last week. But this is now going for $15. I actually did have one copy of these left on my rack for $3.99, so I left it there for some lucky listener to go in and pick up. So if you're listening, Arkham Comics and Games, Pearland, Texas.
Yep, they ship.
Fly down and you can pick one up and save you know, $11. No, I took it off my website, actually, because I didn't want some speculator to grab it. I wanted one of my customers to get it. So cool. It's there. It's there for the taking. But anyway, also keep an eye on issue number 5. This is the first appearance of Kamala Khan's new costume, and it's spiking all of a sudden, too, to $15 to $20. So, again, this is a book that a lot of stores don't order a lot of copies of. So it's, you know, I think scarcity has something to do with the prices on these, because it's not a major title for Marvel. All right, from 1992, we have Spider-Man 2099, issue number 35. This is the first appearance of Venom 2099. So, of course, Venom 2099 was out last week, and his first appearance is now seeing some movement. There's two covers for this one. The main cover is selling for about $30, and the variant cover is selling for about $40. So, if you can find either one of those, might be worth a pickup. Avengers number 43. This is the first appearance of the Red Guardian. This is purely being driven by the trailer that we got last week for Black Widow. David Harbour, of course, is playing Red Guardian. Prices are on all grades are shooting up now. Even bad condition copies are selling for $30 to $40. And then a very fine copy sold for over $300 a couple days ago. So, definitely worth keeping an eye on that one. I'm sure we've talked about that one previously also, because we've known for a long time that he was going to be in the movie. And then another one we've talked about in the past also is Inhumans number 5 from 1999. This is the first appearance of Yelena Belova, also appearing in the Black Widow trailer. This one's selling for about $50. To round out the trifecta of books impacted by the Black Widow trailer, we have Deadpool Max number 5. This is the first appearance of the female Taskmaster. People are speculating that the Taskmaster in this movie is possibly a female. I don't know where that's coming from, because the character didn't look like a female from the trailer, but it's not the first time I've heard people say that. So in any case, this issue is now selling for $20 to $30. So, Deadpool Max, if you can find it, go ahead and pick it up. And then, last but not least, we have Star Wars, The Clone Wars, issue number 1. This is from Dark Horse in 2008. It's the first appearance of Ahsoka Tano in comics. Prices are all over the place on this, but it is breaking $100 right now. And there's a variant, a 1 in 100 variant, I guess, going for $200. So, the rumor is that she's going to appear on a Disney Plus show upcoming soon. So, okay. We'll have to see if she does. But, like I said, I've seen a lot of movement right now. And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. And what do we got for FOC for next Monday?
All right, so from DC, we have variant covers for Aquaman number 56. That's a Skon variant. Batman number 87, Francesco Mattina. That's my pick for the week. I think it's a great cover, as usual. But a close runner-up is actually Detective 1019, another Batman cover. This one's Lieber Mayho, also a really good cover. So either one of those would be good to pick up. No new series from DC for FOC this week. From IDW, we have Ghostbusters Year 1. That's issue 1 of 4, and there's 2 covers. And then we have Rom Dire Wraiths, issue number 1 of 3, and there's 2 covers for it. I think we've talked about that book before, so it must have gotten delayed and re-FOC'd. I remember talking about Rom
a while ago. Speaking of that, did you see the new Ghostbusters trailer?
No, I haven't seen it yet, actually.
It's pretty cool.
I mean, I know it's out, but I haven't sat down to watch it yet.
I like it. It's a different, it's a completely different take
I heard it is. It's a lot of kind of Ghostbusters with Stranger Things mixed in.
Yeah, but it's
what people are saying.
Yeah, but it's not like, you know how the original Ghostbusters was like wacky, crazy city, blah, blah, blah. They went absolutely complete opposite, and I really liked it. It's like it's something you wouldn't expect. Yeah. And it's like I showed the trailer to my wife, and she's like, "That looks really good. That looks fun." So, yeah, looking forward to that.
I need
one.
To watch it. Yeah, I need to watch it because I'm looking forward to that.
I'll be
movie.
Honest with you. If it was a straightforward Ghostbusters sequel, I would have been like, eh. But this one was very –
either way, I'd be in because all the original cast is in. So I'd be there no matter what.
Yeah, but they're not in the trailer except for Bill Murray's voice. Bill Murray's voice is in it. But
they'll save them for
– Yeah, they'll have
– The movie.
Big
– Probably.
Big reveals.
Yeah. All right.
So we're on to Marvel variant covers.
Yep, we're on to Marvel variant covers. We have Captain Marvel issue 14. There's an In-Hyuk Lee connecting variant.
Friend of the podcast.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention this previously. I guess issues 12 through 16 of Captain Marvel are all connecting covers, and they're all done by In-Hyuk Lee. So,
oh, cool.
You probably want to go back. If you're going to pick this one up, you want to go back and get 12 and 13
as well. If you need one, I'll give him a call and we'll get him.
Yeah. I'm sure he's waiting for us to bug him for books.
Yeah.
So, and then new series from Marvel. We have Atlantis Attacks. This is issue number 1 of 5. Multiple covers there. Guardians, again, it's Marvel, so there's...
Yep.
Well, actually, it's not the case. There's a few that don't have multiple covers, so... Guardians of the Galaxy issue 1, however, has multiple covers. And Iron Man 2020, issue number 1 of 6. There's multiple covers there. Jessica Jones Blind Spot, issue 1 of 6. There's only 2 covers. And this is a one-shot Venom The End, and there's 2 covers there. So I don't know what's going on with Marvel. They're slacking.
Yeah, what's up? Jessica Jones only gets 2 covers?
I know. I mean, Squirrel Girl gets 87 covers, so I don't know why Jessica Jones only gets 2.
I'm actually interested in that Jessica Jones story.
Yeah. Yeah. And last but not least, from Titan, we have Doctor Who. This is the 13th Doctor, Season 2, issue number 1, and there's multiple covers. And that's it for FOC.
All right. We are on to Book Club.
Yeah.
And we've read a few of these together, okay. So just start. We'll just go.
All right. So first book is from Boom Studios. It's Red Mother, issue number 1, written by Jeremy Hahn and art by Danny Lukert. Really liked it. I was looking forward to reading this book, even though I didn't know exactly what it was about. I look forward to a lot of, well. We talked about it last week, and I couldn't really tell anybody what it was about. But I still knew I wanted to read it when it came in, because I've been really enjoying what Boom's been doing with all these releases they've had. So, again, a horror. This is going to be a horror-themed story, even though you don't see much of it in the first issue.
I thought
there's an unseen antagonist.
Yes.
But, it could have just been a mug. Like, at this point, we don't know that it's supernatural in nature. But as the story plays out, things occur that let you believe that it's...
Starts really, really strong. Like, really gets you that horror vibe right away. Yeah. I mean, I was on the, edge of my seat, if you will. And then it settles down. And you start to get into the story, but it opens up really strong, and I think it finishes pretty good. It didn't finish as strong as it started, but I thought it was still, you're intrigued. You want more.
Definitely intrigued. I mean, I thought it was fairly good throughout. It just ended with you wanting more, which is kind of what it's supposed to do. I really, like I said, I really enjoyed this book. I really liked the character. Like, right from the very beginning, you liked this lady. It was very well written. And, she had good personality right from the first page. And, it was somebody that was very believable, I thought. Which isn't always the case, when you read these books.
No.
But, like I said, I thought the relationships with her and the boyfriend and her and her best friend and... everything was really well written. I thought the art was good. like I said, another hit from Boom, I think. This is going to be a solid story. It didn't sell like Once in Future or Something is Killing the Children. Both of those sold a lot better on day one. This didn't really fly out the door, but I'm going to be recommending it to people as they come through because I think it's really that good. And I think it will pick up as the word gets out there that, you know, how good it was.
Yeah.
So. All
right. Yeah. Yeah. I really liked it. The one that I read, Dying is Easy, number one.
Uh-huh.
Did you read that one?
No.
Oh, definitely pick that up. Writer Joe Hill, art by Martin Simmons, cover art by the Gabriel Rodriguez.
Uh-huh.
And so Dying is Easy, it's basically, it's a comedian who's a former homicide detective.
Okay.
And they let you know, like, there's a reason he's a former homicide detective. And the story starts out, you're in a comedy club, and he's quote-unquote dying on stage. He's not doing very well.
Okay.
But he's not doing awful. I mean, the dialogue in this is really, really good. It's a lot of fun. It's just comedians hanging out talking, so they're like, ripping each other, I should say, and like the jokes are, you know, they're being sarcastic and they're gritty and they're depressed, and it's really that comic environment. Right. And there's going to then in like the first couple pages, it's somebody says how much to murder somebody, and the story kind of takes off from there. And It, like I said, it all takes place in a comedy club. The first issue is in the comedy club, and the main character at the end of the book, he goes home, and then there's a not a twist ending, but a surprise ending, and you really, really want to see the next book. I just really liked it for the dialogue it's a comic book about comedians. And that dark world, and it gets darker in a comic book sense.
Okay.
So I can't wait for you to pick it up. I was hoping you had read it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's really
didn't
good.
Get
it's
to
really
it.
Good. A lot of fun. It's a one of five. So it's short time investment.
Right.
I'm really looking forward to the second one.
Cool.
So, and your second one, I only read. I got like halfway through this. I ran out of time before we started. All right. So.
Yeah, so the second book I read was Dark Knight Returns, The Golden Child. It says issue number one. This is just a one-shot, though, so they're not going to be a second one. Of course, DC Comics. Written by Frank Miller. It had art by Raphael Grampa. Grandpa?
Grandpa? Grandpa?
I think it's got that little accent on the A, so I think it's
how
I think
do you
it's
accent
Grampa.
The A? Grampa?
Yeah. So, you've heard the expression, if you don't have anything good to say, you shouldn't say anything at all? How long are we going to let that go? I have absolutely nothing good to say about this book. So, I almost didn't put it on the list, but, you know, since we're not calling it recommended reading anymore, I read it.
I told you, I'm glad you say that. Because I was halfway through it, and I won't continue.
Didn't go any further either. I almost stopped reading it twice. I picked it up and put it down twice.
Yeah.
And I just said, you know what, I'm just going to plow through it.
So let's try to give it.
It's terrible.
I just want to kind of say why, though. Like, I feel like it jumped all over the place.
Right. So first of all, this is just a thinly veiled commentary on Frank Miller's politics. You know,
thinly?
Not even thinly veiled, right? I mean, this is literally just
veiled.
This is just Frank Miller's manifesto on what he thinks of politics and the world situation, framed around a story that's so incoherent, like you can't even follow it.
Right.
It just jumps all over the place. I mean, you've got like the Joker and Darkseid, who I don't even know why the two of them are together, and they're like Russia rigging the election in Gotham City. But then all of a sudden, Darkseid's taking over the world. Like, I didn't know what was going on, and you didn't even finish it, so it gets even worse as it goes on.
I was going to say, because I'm like, if you said that this was awesome and you have to, I would have been excited, and I was like, yeah. I was disappointed I couldn't finish it in time to record, but I was like, I ran out of, you know, literally ran out of time. You're like, oh, I'm ready. I'm like, okay. I was like, eh, not a big deal. I mean, but, and it's not a short book.
No, it's not. It was a slog to get through. It took me a little while. To get through it. And I didn't think the art was good at all. You know, the solicit talks about the superstar artist, Raphael Grampa, his first comics work in 6 years, bringing his extraordinary detail and storytelling to the Dark Knight saga. I mean, I think he should have stuck with whatever he was doing for the last 6 years, because I don't think, you know, comics was necessarily his first strength.
Yeah.
And
not a fan.
I don't know. Like I said, I can't really say anything good about it. You know, if you read The Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, that was already not a great story.
Yeah. I didn't read that one.
And this spins out of that, and it's worse. Like, Frank Miller has gone from being, to me, like a paragon of comic. Like, right. At one point he would have been on like Comics Mount Rushmore with like Stan Lee and
some,
you know, I mean, the Daredevil run, the Dark Knight Returns. I mean, there's such great, even 300 and Sin City. I mean, he's had such great works, and then he like completely fell off a cliff. Like, I don't know what's going on with the last several things he's done. Like, you guys already know how I feel about Superman Year One. I know you liked it a little bit more than I did.
Yeah.
But this book, the last Dark Knight, The Master Race, I mean, I just don't think he knows how to write comics anymore. I don't think he understands these characters anymore. Like, I don't think he knows who these characters are.
I'm wondering if it's a case of he's been in it and he's trying to come up with something different. And
I guess he's trying to be Frank Miller, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And what happens, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. You know, that's all.
This didn't.
And I'd be interested to see if it works for anybody. If this book worked for anybody.
I know. I'm sure somebody likes it.
I'll be honest with you. Regardless of which side of the political fence you fall on, this doesn't really say which side he's on. It just says, like, politics in general is a mess. So this doesn't paint either side in a great light.
No,
in
but
the
you
book,
can,
you know what
you
I mean?
You can sort of see where he falls. As it goes on, the Trump character is
right.
not portrayed very well throughout the entire story.
No, but
and again,
the
I'm not, and that's
that
not
gonna,
to even say which side I'm on. It's just he's not portrayed in a strong light. So I think if he was pro-Trump, that character would have been written
positively. He also didn't portray the voters that are going to get rid of him or whatever as in a great light either.
No, nobody was.
That's
really
what I'm saying. So it's like, if you're a Trump fan or you're a Trump person, you're like, okay, he painted that person in a bad light. But then if you're against Trump, he also painted those people in a bad light. It's right. And basically what he's saying is the entire thing's a mess. But right. and that's not even part of the story. That's like kind of a. It's kind of part of the story.
I know. It's one of those. Like, I can't even believe. I honestly can't believe that DC put this out. I honestly can't. Like, I don't know.
I was disappointed with the Black Label. Like I said, I'm halfway through it, and I kept opening and closing the book going, yep, it's still Black Label.
Honestly, I wouldn't even go through the rest of it. If you stopped now, I would just get out.
Yeah.
You know, you've escaped already. Let it pull you back in.
The last line in the synopsis is pretty accurate. Dark Knight story like nothing you've ever seen before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Enough of that.
Enough
yeah.
on that. We can't. It's too bad we end the show with that one.
I know. I just. Hey, Superman 18 was good.
I didn't get to read that. I should have read that instead.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. You know, again, it's Bendis, so it has some elements of Bendis in it. You know, there was some Leviathan and things.
Bendis,
like, the one part about
do.
Well, again, not to spoil anything, and I don't think this is a spoiler necessarily, but the one part about it that bugged me is that, you know, obviously he reveals his identity. That's not a secret, right? It's right on the cover. He's telling the world that he's Superman. And it's flashing to reactions of people throughout the entire book as they're hearing this on TV or wherever.
Yeah.
And it's like, of all the Superman villains that we could have chosen to, like, key in on as far as their reaction, they had to put Leviathan in there. Because Bendis has to inflate the importance of Leviathan for his storytelling. But I was like, that is so self-serving to your story, which, I mean, he's writing it, so it's all his story. But it's like,
There's
a million villains that you could have chosen to key in on. And Leviathan wouldn't have been at the top of my list.
Yeah.
Of, you know, so I thought that was not great. But overall, it was a pretty good story. I enjoyed it.
Cool.
So,
all right, I'm looking forward to reading that one.
Yeah.
I got to read Daredevil from last week.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah,
I think
pretty
we
could
talk about that one right now. End on a high note, because it's been a week. We don't even have to spoil anything on it.
No.
Just this story, the way they're writing this, Zdarsky's writing the story, when I was reading it, I'm like, you know what? This almost isn't even like a comic book. It's different. It's a superhero, but it's so grounded.
Right.
You know, whereas he hasn't even put the costume back on yet.
No.
You know?
And I don't know that he's going to anytime soon either.
Not anytime soon, but I think he will. I think he will. It's like, I really
get Daredevil, so.
Yeah, I really get the Netflix series vibe out of this.
Yes.
You know, obviously there's some characters in it that in the Netflix, it's not a continuation of that because there's characters that didn't make it through that.
But it has the feel of that show.
Yeah, grounded in reality, the cop, what's his name, that's having a hard time.
Yeah, I could have told you until now.
I asked.
Yeah, I know.
I know it.
You're right.
What
is his name? I can't even think of it.
Yeah, I have the book right here.
Something.
Thank you. From Chicago.
I got you the first name.
I love their conversation about why he came from Chicago.
Yeah.
What he had done. And I loved how he said, like, look, I abide by the rules. I put myself out there for judgment, blah, blah, blah. And then, and I love Murdoch's reply. He's like, yeah, but there's different rules for different people.
Right.
If you were a normal person, you wouldn't have gotten the same treatment. And he's like, yeah, but I, you know, and it's a great response. But that's the thing. This is a Daredevil book, and we're talking about a diner conversation.
Right.
You know, it's such a good read. It's such a good read. Definitely we're up to 14 now, but if you're not reading this, it's, are there trades out for this yet?
Yeah, a couple of them.
Are there?
So, yeah, you'd have to pick up the trades now. I think there's two volumes out now.
Definitely worth picking up. This is such a – and it's so funny. Remember when this started? We were like, what are they going to do? Because he had just died in the previous run.
Well, right. I was kind of down
like a
on
year
the –
ago. Right?
Yeah, I was down on the whole idea of it because of the way the last run ended.
Yeah.
You know, because they made such a big deal about the death of Daredevil. But yet they relaunched his book a month later, and he never died, and, you know, it was a big thing.
Yeah.
But this has actually been really good.
The memoriam books in between.
Yeah,
remember
which I didn't
we
bother
had,
with. Yeah.
We
had that four-issue weekly miniseries that was basically like Foggy Nelson being all sad and
Karen Page
being all sad.
Yeah.
So.
But this is definitely, I mean, I think this is a big... big surprise.
Really, right from the jump. I mean, this has been good, but it was that second or third issue that really set it off, and it really became.
Now that we mention it, I might actually pick up the first volume, the trade. I have them all anyways. I have them all. I could just go back and read them, but I'm like that first volume has got to be. That's got some really.
That'll be
good...
right, and that'll be the best so far. It's still the best part of the story.
It
started out super strong because it lulled for a little bit. Like volume two is probably – it lags behind a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's starting to pick back up again. With the last two issues or so, it started to get really good again.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of which, that's a great conversation we should have quickly. So did you see we had a Twitter follower has been following us for a while and kind of like in the background. The name's PB at P Saying Borns 1.
Okay.
All right. But he tweeted at us the other day about, like, he's like, he wants to jump in. And did you see? Comics.
Comics. Okay.
He's like, he's liking the conversation on the, you know, the Twitterverse. He likes the community that we've got going.
Yeah.
And he's like, I haven't really, but he hadn't listened to the podcast yet. And he's like, I want to listen to the podcast, but I want to jump in. Where should I jump in? I told him Star Wars are the most popular, whatever. But then Dr. Joe jumped in with some recommendations. But then he was asking about comic books, and he hasn't read comic books before. And then this is one of the things that, like, so TJ asked me a while ago, and you and I have had this conversation a few times, and I think it's worth revisiting because it's been a while. But I feel like when somebody asks me what's a comic book you should read, my go-to response is just go in and look around. Because there's so many variables that if I tell you something and you've never read a comic before, what if I tell you that something that I really like but you don't like? Because I feel like comics are a personal thing to a degree.
They are, but I get asked this question
daily,
almost daily, right?
Right.
So,
but you're also in a store, so you,
right.
and you're also trying. No offense, you're also trying to sell something too, and that's part
I
of
am.
Your job. I get that.
I am, but I always still go back to. While it's, I agree, it's very subjective. You know, and it really depends on what your interests are and things like that. But there are still some evergreen titles out there. Like, you can never go wrong by telling somebody to read The Watchmen or Dark Knight Returns. Or
that's like saying, so what's a good book? Well, Moby
right.
Dick is a good place to start. It's like,
right.
Go with
but
the
I'm
biggest,
saying, like,
deepest one first.
Yeah, you know, or even The Killing Joke, or Daredevil Born Again. Like, there's good story arcs out there. Like, you could say to somebody that may not even know they like Batman, you know, go pick up Dark Knight Returns and read it, and they'll probably enjoy it. Same thing, if you're not really a Daredevil fan, or you don't know if you're a Daredevil fan, Born Again is still a great story to read. So, like, there are some certain titles that I fall back on when people ask me that question, but you're right, because it's such a broad question, and it's hard to answer, because I don't know you specifically, I don't know what pushes your buttons, you know?
That's why I say, like, the best, my advice is, and obviously I'm not in a store to tell people, and it's like what I told TJ, what I told this guy, gentleman, PB, I think it's a gentleman, I don't know, PB, I said, go in and walk around and just, if a cover grabs you, check it out, take a look, you know, and then go from there. But then the other part is, and he said the same thing that I had felt, and that's why I wanted to bring it up on the podcast, I was into comics years ago. But when I was into comics, there were no comic book stores, right?
Right.
So now I'm a 40-something-year-old guy getting back into comics. I was nervous going into a comic book store.
Right.
You know, so, like, when TJ did it, when PB is doing it, it's like they're nervous. Like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to make a fool of myself. And it's like, you can't. You don't. Because everybody, it is a great environment in there. Everybody's accepting. Like you said, you're in the store every day. It's like, you love it when people come in and ask these questions.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, fresh meat. No.
Right. Yeah.
No, but, exactly. We're closing early today. No.
Yeah.
No, but you know what I mean? So it's like, I know how they feel because I felt the same way. But that dissipates really quick. Once you get to talking to people, talk to other customers. They want to talk too, I found. That's real fun.
Right.
But, yeah, I find that it's a personal thing, and it's – you start – my advice is to start on your own and just look at covers, then progress to once you have an idea, and then you can talk to, like, somebody like the store owner, other people.
Right.
What do you recommend? Stuff like that. But it's a great question. And we've had it a bunch. It's just funny. It's come up twice now in the last couple months by two different people trying comics for the first time. All right, is that all you got?
I think so.
Oh, okay. I was like, I didn't know if you were going to elaborate on that at all.
Well, I mean, the only thing I would say, like, at this point, even if you've never read comics, it's impossible to find somebody that's never seen, like, a Spider-Man movie or a Batman movie. Like, at this point, you probably have an idea
right.
what kind of character you're going to gravitate towards. And once you know that, my advice would just be to go in and pick up whatever the latest issue is on the rack. Like,
right.
I wouldn't worry about trying to catch up with the hit. Because that's the thing is, like, I might say, well, yeah, I really like those Batman movies, but, like, I don't want to have to go in and read 9,000 Batman book. Like, I don't know where to start.
Right.
You know? And I just say, start with whatever came out this week. Because you already know who Batman is. You don't need
right.
to go back and read his origin story. And you'll never catch up. Like, you'll never read all of Batman. If you lived...
Right.
I was just going to say, if you lived for the rest of your life, but
you
obviously,
will.
But I mean, if you
that's
had
a guarantee,
exactly. But I mean, if you had your entire life in front of you, you could never read all of Batman. There's
right.
so many pages that have already been produced, and it's still coming. It's not like there's a finite amount. So,
right.
Don't worry about what happened before. Just start where you are now.
Yeah.
And then when you're, then if you really get into it, then you can start picking off classic stories and reading the trade paperbacks of certain things. But I think you probably, even if you're not a comic guy or consider yourself a nerd, there are things in this world that you already know about and you already like. And
right.
That's kind of where I would gravitate
yeah.
towards. So.
And then there's that whole other part that I think a lot of people, like, you know the main characters from movies and TV shows.
Right.
Wait till you get into a store and you find out where, like, all the indie stuff, all the other
right.
stories that you didn't even know exists. Like, how many people know, like, we know, but how many people know Stumptown's a comic?
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, my wife didn't know that. We were watching it and she's like, oh, yeah, did you read this? I was like, yeah, I read it. Because
yeah.
I didn't read it before I knew the TV show was coming.
No.
But I knew it was a comic, and I'm like, oh, I'll grab it.
Yeah, there's so many things out there. Like, History of Violence, that movie is
yeah.
based on a comic book.
Exactly, and that's a
so
great
many things
movie.
That you wouldn't even know were
right.
based on comics.
Yep.
Because they're not all cape books. Like, not everything
yeah,
has
exactly.
a cape and a mask. So there's so much out there. It's such a broad spectrum that, like I said, there's no shortage of things to find.
Well, there's a huge section of fans of The Walking Dead
yeah.
that didn't know that that's a comic. They just
right.
like they knew the
they
TV
just know it's
show.
A, exactly.
You know, so. All right. Well, I think we saved ourselves from that last book.
Yeah.
So we've totally redeemed ourselves.
There you go.
All right.
We can keep the name.
Yep.
For another week.
Yeah. There's so. A lot of good comics out there after we just
bashed on. I love how I recommended a Frank Miller book after I just finished bashing Frank Miller for 30 minutes.
Yeah, but that is a great book. So
yeah.
And there are some great Frank Miller, and you named
there
them.
Are.
There's a ton.
Yes.
So
there are.
That's why it's so surprising.
Yeah.
But all right, that's it for this one. Let us know what you think. Hit us up on Twitter at brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes. Please rate, review, subscribe. That's always a big help. And we are on the Nerdy Legion podcast network. A lot of good shows there. Listen to Nerdy Legion today. Listen to Martin. I found out I was eating a fortune cookie the wrong way, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not giving away the spoiler, but
yeah,
it tells you how to properly eat a fortune cookie so your fortunes will come true.
Okay.
So, see? That's a big market tease right there. So you got to head on over to Nerdy Legion.
I'm going to have to go.
Listen.
I'm going right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're having Chinese food on Christmas. That's our tradition.
Oh, yeah?
Christmas Eve. We have Chinese food. So you know I'm bringing notes on how to eat my fortune cookie.
Awesome.
So, all right. That's it for this one. We will see you on Monday when we go over I was going to say Heroes in Crisis. I keep saying that. Crisis on Infinite Earths, the TV show, saga, blah, blah, blah. All the big fun.
Yep.
All right. Have a good weekend. I will see you on Monday.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Happy holidays. Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.